Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Good evening. Afternoon, morning, I don't know. It might be
daily workouts, walks, drive
might
to work.
You might be in Alaska where it's daylight 20 hours a day.
Yeah. Or what do they say? Good day?
Yeah. What do you think happens?
No idea.
Do you say good night when it's still light out?
Yeah. Well, how does that work?
Yeah. Rabbit hole. All right.
Anyway, we can go on.
I'm as far from Alaska as I can get.
So. Yeah. That's true.
You're asking the wrong person.
I'm super excited to invite one of my dental school classmates, Jared Ottley, on today's show. And we're going to be talking to Jared about many different things. And we'll kind of get to that conversation here in a second. But let's turn it over to Meredith and see where we're at.
Hello, everyone. I have a weekly review of our podcast. So if you have not already left us a review.
Yeah, we're still stuck at 103. I'm a little angry about this. Okay?
Yeah, if you have not left us a review, please do on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. But I have one today that says something I look forward to every week. I love this podcast. T-Bone covers an incredibly wide range of topics from clinical to practice management and always asks smart questions to his guests. So be prepared. Smart questions. I'm just starting dental school, so I admittedly don't even understand some of the conversations, but I'm always finding that I learn something each week.
Well, I would like to add one that was updated this week.
Oh, okay. Yes. We had a review update.
Yes, from Seth Todd. And thank you, Seth. So he wrote this other stuff before about how he's a non-dentist, blah, 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 which is great. Good for you, Seth. What was great was his update. It said OMG, which stands for Oh My God or Oh My Goodness. Depending on where you're at. The keto episode is so funny. I was laughing throughout the whole thing. T-Bone hunting for his ice cream. And it is kind of like that.
Yeah. And how is that going?
It's okay. It's a little bit of a struggle right now.
Yeah, I heard. So Jared is visiting from Florida. He's in town. And I heard he likes ice cream, milkshakes.
Yes, milkshakes.
you eat more milkshakes than anybody. I think you eat more milkshakes than me.
Listen, if you're going to waste time in a drive-thru, you might as well get a milkshake.
For the ride home before you even get your food.
Last night's drive-thru at Cookout was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Cookout has, like, the best milkshakes, too.
It was good.
Yeah.
Worth the wait.
All right. So
long wait.
Well, let's introduce Jared. Jared, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, you're nervous, aren't you?
You bet.
Why, dude? Come on, man.
Because this isn't my thing.
That's not your thing. So tell everybody, what is your thing?
I don't have a thing, you know. I just work and be a dad. That's it.
All right. So you're a dentist.
That. Yep.
Okay, you went to school with me in Kansas City.
We made it. 6 years.
You made it up.
Dragging each other higher than me.
But so you grew up in?
Milton, Florida.
Which is?
Northwest Florida, Pensacola.
Near Pensacola.
Yeah, Pensacola area.
And talk to us. Was dentistry a forced subject on you?
I wouldn't say forced, but yes, my father is a dentist.
Okay.
My uncle is a dentist.
And they practice together.
They practice together. We worked in the offices, kids.
Yeah, my kids don't do that.
Sterilization.
Do your kids work in the office now?
Of course.
So no, they don't. Okay. Makes me feel better. All right.
Oh, so, yes, they get paid for working in the office. We actually did some work back then. You know, we developed x-rays, cleaned. That was usually like the 7th and 8th grade. Our middle school was really close to my dad's office, so we could walk there after school, put in some hours, and get paid.
Your dad was pretty tough on you, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he's a stern, but good.
Yeah, no, of course he's good.
Of course, yeah. But it was my uncle that made it look fun, you know.
Why do you say that?
He did. He just, he had a good time in the office. They're two different personalities, my father and uncle. One's very serious, go in full speed. You know, if you talk to my dad, Bob works too slow. If you talk to Bob, my dad works too fast, you know. So he used to get this little mechanical turtle, and he'd see dad running from a hygiene room over to his operatory doing work, and he'd get the turtle and he'd wind it up and walk down the hallway. You're moving too fast. You need to slow down. You're moving too fast. And he would just walk down the aisle singing that song, and my dad would look behind himself, and there would be the turtle.
Did you understand any difference between a fast-paced office and a slower-paced office at that age?
No, but you could see the difference in, like, I'm not going to say enjoyment. I'm pretty sure my dad loved work. You know, I'm sure there's, like, days we all have. Don't want to go. You know, but to me, for my uncle, it looked like every day was fun.
Was that just his personality, you think?
A lot.
Was he a fun person outside of the office?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Compared to your dad?
Yeah, I mean.
But he enjoyed it.
More, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're 16 years apart.
Okay.
So they're.
Your dad was older?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So he just made it look more fun.
Okay.
You know. And that's what kind of, you know, made me look at, like, it's a profession I could do, for sure.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was your uncle. I just assumed it was your dad.
Yep.
That made it happen for you. All right. Why'd you pick UMKC?
My dad probably doesn't know that, so I'm sure he won't listen
to this. I doubt he listens to podcasts.
He won't listen to this. Although he has these drives now from where he's teaching.
Yeah, so he's teaching at one of the...
it's an outlying clinic for the school in Tampa. I'm not sure.
I don't know what
Bradenton,
it's called.
In Bradenton.
Yeah, something like that. So their senior year, they either go to Defuniac or Michigan.
Okay.
So he teaches in Defuniac. He has an hour and a half drive, so he might start listening to these. We never know.
You should.
We'll find out.
He's good. Is he drive his car
when
fast?
When he sees me, he goes, "Really, Bob? Bob's the reason?" Then I'll know.
What did you think about growing? Did you? At the end of the day, I don't want to give away too much here, but you now. Okay, so here's the deal with Jared, which I thought was amazing. You're four siblings, right? There's you three brothers and a sister.
Correct.
Your sister's an attorney, and you and your two other brothers, all three of you are dentists.
Correct.
And you all live essentially within half an hour, 45
county.
Minutes of you,
yes.
of each other. And so you and your brother, one of your younger brother practiced together, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then your older brother took over your dad's practice.
Correct.
And let's go through the names, because that's the other issue I have with your whole family.
So my older brother, Jeff, he graduated dental school in 98, so a year before
from
us.
From Florida, I think, correct?
From Florida.
Okay.
Went in to practice with my dad and uncle.
Right away?
Yep.
Okay. As an associate?
As an associate, 2 years. I believe in 2005 or 2006, uncle moved to Tennessee.
Okay.
So I just left them too. And then shortly, not shortly, maybe 7 years later, my dad retired.
Okay.
So now my brother's running that office by himself.
Okay. Well, he has an associate, I believe, correct?
He just recently brought an associate.
All right.
Yep.
What's it
like? Which he needs help. He needs to talk to you.
Well,
Jeff, you need to talk to Tarun about this.
Not about associates. I am not the right person to talk to about associates. I understand why we want them.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily, because I'm very old school. I'm probably like your dad with those kids at those clinics, you know. Was it weird for your brother to work with your dad?
I don't know. He doesn't say much about it. Okay. We haven't had a big conversation about it.
So okay.
It's nice always having that mentor right there.
Right.
He was definitely, by this time, I would say, he was, you know, he was more chill.
Yeah.
Not so tight.
Well, they weren't
tight-wad.
Tight-wad, tight-wound.
Yeah, really, yeah. So maybe, he was more relaxed. So he probably was, you know, a little more in the teaching mode, like he is now.
Yeah.
He's different than when we were growing up now.
Well, we all are, right? Like, my parents are so different to my kids than they were to me. I'm like, man, you guys are nice.
Right? You guys are good grandparents.
Yeah, no joke.
What happened?
And you, so then there's you, Jared, and then your brother's name is?
Jonathan.
And your sister's name is?
Jeanette.
Right, all J's.
Are your parents J's too?
Yeah, my dad is, not my mom.
Oh.
So we're all J's.
Oh, she's the little, I have a friend too.
Okay, and
it's
now
all K's.
You have four boys.
I have four boys.
And what are their real names?
Avery, Andrew, Aiden, and Austin.
All A's.
And they're all middle names or C, so they're all ACOs.
Oh, well, that makes it good for the monograms. You can just pass them down.
That's true. Yeah, because they're all boys. They're going to wear monogram stuff.
Well, book bags and stuff when
so
they're little.
You can't put ACO.
You don't know which one it's for. Yeah.
ACO 1, ACO 2.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, and then your brother, Jonathan, when did he graduate dental school?
He graduated dental school.
A couple of 3 years after us?
No, he would have been, 2005, maybe.
Okay,
2004.
Five, okay, 2004. All right, and then.
Because he's 3 years younger.
And did he join you right away?
5 years.
Did he join you right away?
He did 1 year AEGD.
Okay. Why did he do that?
He was encouraged to.
Okay. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I don't remember how it happened, but.
Okay.
He was encouraged to, I think, so.
All right.
So, he did that in Miami.
Okay. And I bet you had a good time there.
Hialeah. He did, I'm sure. And then he came in as an associate for 2 years.
In your practice?
Correct.
Why didn't he go to your brother's practice? Probably wasn't space necessary because I think Bob was probably still there at that time.
I thought Bob had, maybe he came in right before Bob left.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it like working with your brother?
It has its good things and bad things. Yeah. You know, he gives me, a long string to run the things the way I like to run them, you know, and not all partners are going to do that.
Right.
You know, we can argue and, you know, 5 minutes later, we're still brothers.
Right.
So, and you can't do that with just any partner.
Right.
So, but at the same time, I can't change him like you might at another partner.
Well, you can't
it's gonna be
partner.
Yeah, it's going to be his. He's going to do it his way. I'm going to do it my way.
And it works
out.
And
we just make that work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your wife is also a dentist?
Yeah. She's the boss.
Carita. She was also a classmate.
Yes.
So
she was.
And so how many days is she working?
She works 2 days a week.
So what's that dynamic like of having, you know, does Jonathan ever feel like it's you two against him? Or?
I don't think so.
No?
If he did, he would never say it.
Okay.
But maybe, I don't know. Good question.
What do you think?
He should be here on this with us.
What do you think about working with your wife?
Listen, we've been together every day since we were 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
So we went to school together. We were in the Army together. Then we started the practice together. Each time we'd have a kid, she'd take 3 months off and come back and be mad because I'm using different materials. You know, and she's like, what's this? So it got to the point, I can't remember, it's either after our second child or the third child that we decided that we were going to start kind of limiting her practice to pedo.
You know, okay.
At first she hated it, and now I think she would say it was probably one of the best ideas we've had.
Okay.
Yep.
That's good.
So maybe. Do you all specialize or within general dentistry on different things? Like we were talking earlier, you said you like Invisalign, you like ortho.
I like doing a lot of ortho and Invisalign. She does all the pedo. Jonathan kind of just, you know, he's just a standard general practice.
So he does the bread and butter dentistry.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. He has the easy stuff, I would like to say. The less headache stuff, to be quite honest with you. I find some of those specialty procedures that we do sometimes very heartache.
Very stressful.
Because, one, people have high expectations. They're typically paying you a lot of money. And then you have high expectations of yourself, I think.
Well, while we're talking about that, we can talk about how people go from just being a general dentist to being a super general, because I think both of you guys are in that on that path, and how you got there, what made you want to do that kind of thing.
Well, I'm the super. I'm the caveman general dentist.
Okay, the one who didn't want to do anything with blood.
Yeah.
Oh,
much.
Listen, I'll tell you about Trent.
Yeah, you know what? We were gonna wait till the end, but I think we all really we brought you here because we want to know what T-Bone was like in dental school.
I'll tell you. Well, first of all.
Well, number one, let's set the stage. We went to a 6-year program.
Yes.
Which was okay. Straight out of high school. So most of us were 17 or 18 years old.
You guys were young.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we were in a program where it's 2 years undergrad, 4 years dental school. You had to maintain a 2.8 or a 3.0 or something. And then you got your admission into dental school.
But at the same time, our first semester, we're in 18 hours.
Yeah, 18, 21 college. Even. Yeah, we're in, and then we went all summer. Crazy. We went every summer to school.
Yeah, 12 and 13 during the summers. Yeah. That's full time for a regular semester.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, our easiest semester was our first with 18 hours.
Yeah.
And we're in dental anatomy with 4-year dental students.
Yeah.
First semester out of high school. But I'll tell you a couple stories about Tarun. You know, first of all, Tarun, he looked like he was 20-something. The first date, he was 17. I remember we went out to dinner. Do you remember all the 6 years we went to dinner from the dorm? We go to this little Chinese restaurant we could walk to. And we go around the table. It's a big table. There's 9, 10 of us. Gets to Tarun last, and he says, I'll have a beer, Miller Lite. We're like, what? Did you have a beer?
I hardly drink now.
Yeah, he doesn't even. He didn't drink then. Yeah. But he and the Chinese guy, he's like, okay. So we all had milk, and, you know, we're still kids. Tarun had a beer.
That's okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
Now all the kids are at his house for like the Millennial Mastermind having beers and he's drinking milk.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Tables of
somebody's got to watch those kids.
He wants a milkshake and everybody else is drinking beer.
Man, we should have milkshakes right
now. No, I can't do any more ice cream.
Drew can drive. Where's Drew?
All right, so let's talk. Well, let's get back to the path to becoming a super dentist, in a sense. All right. Or a caveman dentist, I like to call myself.
Because not too many people want to do all that kind of education.
I don't look at it that way necessarily. I think there's a lot of people that want to do that level of dentistry, but who are unwilling to persevere through what it takes to get there.
Right.
So, you know, when did you decide that? Because from what I'm hearing, it sounded like your dad was. Would you say your dad was a traditional general dentist?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
He did ortho.
Okay.
So, you know.
But not implants.
Big into occlusion. Okay. I think he did some implants back in the day, yeah. I mean, he used to do IV sedation in the office. Yeah, so he had a saying, the only thing he referred were bad attitudes.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, so he was probably one, a super general.
Of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, it was, you know, I'd probably just be a regular general dentist doing fillings and one-unit crowns. But when 2 weeks before my first son was born, we were getting an ultrasound, and they found the cleft lip and cleft palate. And I think that's what changed it for me. Right then I knew my wife was already signed up for Garrity Ortho, course. And I remember I said, I'm going with you. I hadn't signed up, but I'm coming with you, and I'm going to take the course too. And, you know, because no one's going to treat him better than I will.
Right.
So, and that's, once I started taking that stuff, I just got addicted to it, one thing after another. And then you get to the point where, like, you're into it so much, you can't waste a weekend. So taking bad CE courses, that was just out of the question. So I started doing research on, like, who and where. And so I got involved in the AACD shortly after going through the ortho. I took an implant curriculum in San Diego because we went to San Diego.
Well, Trina's from San Diego. Mm-hmm.
So we went there twice a year anyways. So we kind of planned it with that, and that was El Faraji. I can't really pronounce his name. But then I saw John Coyce at the AACD, and that changed everything.
Fell in love with him?
Yeah, because I'd already started.
A bromance?
I'd already started Panky. So I did Panky 1.
Okay.
You know, and I came the whole time I met Panky, I spent hours. They had this little simulator where you're trying to
do CR.
Yeah, bimanual manipulation of the jaw.
Caressing.
You know, and I'm pretty ambidextrous.
Yeah.
You know, I write left-handed. I just throw right-handed. So I'm always using both.
You practice right-handed too, correct?
I practice left-handed.
You practice left-handed. Okay.
Depends on what I'm doing. Okay. I mean, I will do some things right-handed, but not very often.
Do you have your assistant switch your chair halfway through?
No, I just bump her out of the way. I say, I'm coming over. But so when I saw Dr. Coyce, and he just gave a one-day lecture, but he was talking about, he did go over how he could do a full bite adjustment without ever touching the patient's face. Mm-hmm. And I had just been to Panky a month before working on this simulator, which had no muscles attached to it that were fighting me. And I couldn't get it, you know, even left and right hand. So I knew, I was like, man, if I'm going to do a bite adjustment and I got to touch the patient's face, there's no way I'm going to get it right. You know, and then I heard Dr. Coyce and the way he does it. And it's just like, man, there's your answer. So then I started taking his courses.
And they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
And they're not close.
No. You got to fly to Seattle from Florida. So you're missing a day there.
From Timbuktu, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You miss a day there. You're there for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. For the first course, I flew home on Sunday. My wife cut that out when she found out there was an overnight flight. So I was taking course all day Saturday and catching
like
the
all
red
my
eye
friends.
The red eye home, yeah, but I was worthless on Sunday, that's for sure. Uh-huh. But you know, but he you know, the one thing you learn with Dr. Coyce is you save money with the knowledge that you gain,
right?
You know, you avoid the disasters. So, and that was,
and to me, that's what knowledge really is.
Yeah,
right?
It's all knowing, good CE,
well, it's knowing what not to do, right?
Right.
Yeah. And how to avoid some of the mistakes, and then to, you know, then certainly, of course, how to troubleshoot through the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard a lot of people say that Coy, Spear, Panky, all these places, they kind of change your life and your perspective on dentistry. You know, what would you say is, if you were to sum it up, how did those programs, how did the COIS programs really change how you practice?
They give you more confidence, definitely taking on bigger cases. But, you know, confidence that you can, one, you're not going to screw the person up.
Okay.
And two, that you can actually make them happy.
Right.
You know, that's two different levels of confidence. So, That's the biggest thing. Plus, always having that mentor that you can reach out to.
Right.
I think it's important because even, I mean, you can take all the classes you want. You're going to come across something where you need to reach out.
You need help.
Yeah.
You forget.
Of course.
You know, you don't do it enough.
Of course.
You know, I've always heard, because I haven't taken any programs from Coyce outside of seeing him at Chicago or play, you know, big meetings like that. I heard that he has a significant emphasis on diagnosis and treatment planning.
Mm-hmm.
So would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so talk to us about that. What is that like? What is, you know, in a nutshell, kind of what is the philosophy there?
Well, he
and how does it apply to a So I want to be clear about this. You have what I would consider a standard traditional general practice that you live in. A how big is Navarre? 30,000 people?
30,000.
30,000 people. So it's not like you're in a hi-fi area any of those things. So you at the end of the day, 70-80% of your practice is probably traditional general dentistry.
Yeah.
But yet you took time to invest in, what, 6, 7, 8 classes from Coyce?
Yeah.
Plus the annual symposium?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Yeah, so how does it kind of relate into the general practice?
Well, you hear a lot of people, some dentists will say, well, I can't do that. I'm in a small town.
Right.
Listen, small town people, they're – the teeth are the same. It doesn't matter where they live. And same with their they're going to want their teeth when they're 80 also, you know. So it's still all about presenting the dentistry that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just assume they're going to say no. So but as far as Coyce and his like philosophies, you know, he's red, yellow, green.
Right, yeah.
So that's just a way to, you know, everything we do is makes that group, whatever you're looking at, like dentifacial or, you know, carry susceptibility, biomechanics, function, all those, we give them a red, green, or yellow.
And are you using
that's
that?
That's easy for the patient to understand.
Are you doing that on all your patients?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a diagnostic form that we can fill out on the new patients and kind of just let them know. But, and then the biggest thing is like I like is four classes of dysfunction or we should say occlusion.
Right.
You know, he's got like the dysfunction and the constricted envelope and, you know, parafunction, brain activity or whatever. But I'd like to have my sheet in front of me and I can tell you exactly what he calls them, you know.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is really presenting it to the patient.
So how do
and
you
not just assuming that they just want that. Because they come in saying that their one tooth broke. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time, right?
Yeah,
they say, I just want this one broke. You present it all to them, and maybe not that year, but next year they start treatment.
Yeah. And what has the success been with like that? I mean, are you, is there, are you doing more comprehensive dentistry than you imagined you would do?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, especially when you combine it with ortho knowledge, you know. Because anterior tooth wear, a lot of these cases you really should reposition the teeth.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's typically, well, there's a big push now that it's an airway issue. A lot of clenching and grinding grinding especially.
Tons of clenching.
Yeah.
You know, people are stressed out. I think the cell phones have made us worse. I didn't clench until I had a cell phone.
Because we're more aware of what's all going
You're
on.
You're a liar, dude.
I did it. Now I clench, but I wear a night guard, so.
All right, so how'd you get into ortho? So we talked about it from the cleft lip palate thing, okay?
Yep. So my wife, she was already signed up, so I didn't go with her to the first class, so I ended up going to, she did all hers in Atlanta. I went to Dallas for my first class, and then we went to Atlanta for the rest of them. But
together.
Yep. So that was like however many weekends, and then you go back the second year and do it again, kind of sit in the back of the room as a mentor or whatever, but. You know, Garrity, he's the man when it comes to general dentists and ortho. You know, he's been the man. That's what my dad learned from Garrity. Okay. You know, and
I don't think he's personally teaching anymore.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah. Remember, Matt was teaching with him, Standridge.
Okay.
Who we're looking to have do some of our ortho programs, our limited ortho programs. So,
I feel like, you know, when you the more things you do.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3d-dentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Then, the less a recession is going to affect you. Like, did you have a turn down in 08, 09?
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. You know, I didn't even realize that we were in a big recession.
But it's interesting you say that. My downturn, so our practice dropped about 30% in 08, 09, a little early 2010. But I was also a very limited dentist at that time.
I would say we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Becoming recession-proof.
Yeah,
that works.
From expanding, right? Mm-hmm. Because basically my level of dentistry in 08, 09 was cosmetic cases. I did endo at that time. And that was it.
And no blood.
No blood. No blood. No blood whatsoever.
So we've come a long way.
Yeah. So
it just surprises me because now his biggest, largest cases are just full on blood.
Bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
Like we're purposely inducing bleeding. So what was my first blood story?
Well, this is our first day in the oral surgery clinic. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember it. But was it first year of dental school or was it while we were still in undergrad?
I think we're in our third year.
Third year of dental school?
Yeah, we were starting our oral surgery rotation.
Okay. All right.
So we were supposed to be out there for 2 weeks. The first day, these are all like cubicles, so they have swinging doors, not like your traditional operatories. And we stand up. So in the first day, we were with one of the oral surgery residents. So I'm standing in there suctioning for my oral surgery resident. All of a sudden, I hear boom, boom, and my door swings open.
We have sound effects, too.
So I turn around, and there's Tarun laying on the floor. I'm like, Tarun, he fell through his door, across the aisle, and through my door, and into my cubicle. And he's laying on his back, looking face up at me. I'm like, what are you doing?
Hit your head? Get
and
up.
I wasn't super heavy at this time either.
He passed out.
By the way, I wasn't even assisting. I was watching. I was second assistant. I was just watching. I was just watching it happen.
And the funny thing is so I started in his office as an intern. And when he brings these interns in, he asks them, does blood bother you? And I'm like, well, do you think these people would be wanting to come see it if it did? And he's asking.
Blood bothered me. There's a lot of dentists that blood bothers them.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, dude.
I believe it.
I remember doing our anesthetic.
There's days it bothers me.
Yeah, I remember doing the anesthetic days where we had to do anesthetic on each other first time. I'm all and I'm all shaking my hand.
I feel like this is good because we have a lot of, as you heard in the review, I feel like we have a lot of young listeners, people that are in dental school or just graduated, kind of all phases, but I feel like we have a lot of millennial-aged listeners. Yeah. So since we were talking about that, are you guys doing the procedures now you thought you would be doing when you graduated?
No, for me, absolutely not.
That's what exactly.
Like I would have. If you probably could catch me off the golf course my senior year of dental school, I would have probably told you that I don't want to do any dentistry, that I hate dentistry. But I love the business of dentistry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we figured Tarun would own like 10 offices and not work.
Yeah,
be doing great.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I would have pictured for myself.
He says that, but then he loves it so much, we can't get him out of the operatory.
But I think, you know, my why wasn't like you, where it's familially related.
Right.
My why was, I don't know if you were up there for our meeting yesterday, but I talked to our team about a couple of things about myself. And I said, you know, my biggest fear in life is disappointing people, more specifically my parents. And my second biggest thing is always the fear of not being proud of whatever I do. And that includes other people around me. So I know, look, my parents are very proud of me, but I also know that they weren't proud that I didn't have the grades or the networking connections to be able to do any type of specialty program. They literally would have left me. They would have left me out of, they would have laughed me. I wasn't a very good student or a very committed student. They would have laughed me out of the residency program. But my parents, my dad kind of forced me to take some education. And some of the first classes I took, I went to a large dental meeting. I heard Larry Rosenthal talk. That inspired me a lot. Then I heard Ross and Bill Dickerson and some of these guys, and they really inspired me to see dentistry from a different perspective. And I, just like you, I got hooked. I got the bug. And, then I was focused on doing that in my practice. And the concept or idea of multiple practices just really was always there in the back of my mind. But I think I solved that entrepreneurial itch from the Dental Town meeting, then 3D Dentist, and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. So I'm getting the entrepreneurial part in still.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not doing it through multiple practices. Economically, I possibly could have done a lot better that way. But that's okay. I'm really loving what I do and, that kind of thing. So
I believe your first townie meeting was same weekend as my son's first surgery.
Yeah.
Because I ended up not making it.
Like, maybe it was at the Flamingo 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so you got into ortho from that perspective.
Did you always think you were going to, so you didn't think you were going to get into ortho when you graduated? What did you want to do?
I wasn't.
No, I'm talking about ortho.
No, Drew was
playing golf with somebody. He wasn't out there by himself.
So Jared, by the way, Jared.
I remember
the first time I ever played golf, Jared took me to Swope Park Ray Golf Course, and I had never played in my life, and I was, again, hooked. But I have a little bit of an addictive personality.
Right. Because I had competitive, it's competitive.
No, I just, competitive. Yeah. I had a gambling problem.
Yeah, that's where I was addicted to.
But when you guys grad, because this is one thing I learned working in T-Bone's practice, I had always wanted to be an orthodontist. Mm-hmm. And then working in his practice, I realized you don't have to be an orthodontist to do ortho.
Right.
So when you guys graduated, is that something you even thought you would really be able to do as a general dentist?
Well, see, my dad did it, so I knew.
Okay, you could, so you were around your dad's practice.
Yeah, but I didn't think I was going to.
Yeah.
It wasn't on my list of things to do.
What did you want to do?
In fact, when we were getting out of the Army, my wife applied for some ortho residencies.
Uh-huh.
She got a couple of interviews, but did not get in. So, actually, this must have been, when did she do that?
02, 03?
Was it before we got out? It had to be before we got out, because when we were getting out, we knew we were going to the bar. So it must have been right after school when we were in the Army.
Okay.
She applied.
How'd you end up in the Army, by the way?
Oh, well, I had school paid for.
No,
from my parents.
Right, I was going to say.
So they strongly encouraged it. You get to see the world.
And then how did Karina get suckered into it?
All right, so here's the real story. So my dad always talked about it. Yeah. You know, he did always bring it up.
Did he do the Army?
He was Navy.
Okay, yeah. After dental school.
Right. So okay. He was a 03 in the Navy. In fact, he went, got stationed. He's from Pensacola. Got stationed out of dental school at Pensacola NAS.
God.
He didn't want to.
Yeah.
He was like, I joined this to see the world, and here I am.
He's like, I want to see the world. 2 years there, then they moved him to Whiting Field in Milton.
Oh, my God, which is still Pensacola.
30 minutes away, yeah. So he got out. Started his own practice. So he always told me, you know, look at the military. Try it. You know, you might like it. So one day we're actually at the Midwest Dental meeting in March.
Right.
I think it was March of our sophomore years.
Okay.
And Karina and I are just walking the floor. We're like, hey, come here. So we look over and it's the Army recruiter, right? They're always there. So we walk over there and he's like, listen, we had scholarships go untaken. They didn't have enough applicants or whatever. So
we're talking 1997 at this point.
Yeah. So he says, listen, apply, you probably get it. Get your last 2 years paid for, and then give us three. So he already asked, like, what year are you? He's like, sophomores. He's like, oh, this is perfect, because we actually had scholarships go unused. So we applied, and my wife got it. And I was an alternate. So I told my wife, have fun.
Have fun.
I'll see you. After
she wasn't your wife at the time.
My girlfriend. I tell my girlfriend, hey, listen. And she's like, no way, I'm not doing it if you don't get in. And I'd say, I don't know, about after a month, enough no's came around where me as an alternate got the scholarship. So 2 years paid for, 3 years back.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
We lived in Germany for 2 years, so we traveled all over the place. My wife's not one to sit around, so if we had a long weekend, we were gone. Yeah. And you get them at least once a month there, so you had flex Fridays.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you tell other people to go into the military?
I'd say it's a good option.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to learn a ton, you know. I don't know what their scholarships are now. Like, I heard I have a guy that's been shadowing for a couple years now, a good family in Navarre, their son. And he's looking at it, but I think he told me it's 4 for 5, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Did your brothers have to do the military?
None of them did, no.
Why did you?
They probably told my dad, I went and applied and didn't get it. I wasn't that smart. I didn't think of that one.
Right. So you tell other people to do the military?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to learn a ton. One of the years is an AEGD, so you're same as like if you were to do it civilian.
Right.
And then the other 2 years, you're basically, you're going to go somewhere. More than likely overseas, but there are some spots here.
Quite a few of our friends did it. Kevin did it. Greg did it.
Yeah, and Greg stayed in extra so he could go to Italy.
Yeah, he wanted to go to Italy. Loved I remember it. That. He was in Air Force, correct?
Navy.
Navy, yeah. Navy, okay.
Kevin was Navy.
Yeah.
Christy. Right. Actually, Adam was in the Army with me, and we ended up in Seattle together for a year and then Germany 2 years together.
Interesting. Yeah. How'd you get into implants? Because that's not something we even got. I would say we didn't get exposed to it in dental school.
Not at all, right?
Thank goodness. You would have been on the floor.
We would have never woke him up.
Yeah, he would have dropped out.
No, it was soon after, I think when I was probably in the middle of ortho, really. I knew that my son was either going to need an implant or, you know, he was going to need something.
Yeah.
He's actually been very fortunate. He actually had supernumerary teeth.
Right.
So he didn't. No implant as of now.
Yeah.
He had an impacted canine, but we brought that in and with no issues. But that it was, you know, we're doing trips to San Diego, like I said, twice a year. So I found an implant course that was there, right there in Del Mar, where La Jolla Beach.
Right.
And so every time we'd go, we'd set it up at the same time.
Right.
I'd take the course while I was there, and kids would go to.
Do you enjoy implant dentistry?
I do. I like it even more with the surgical guides now. Yeah. It's, you know, takes the stress out, makes them almost too easy sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get done, you're like, dang.
I need to make that take longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patient's going to want a refund. No, it's too easy.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you're trying to get into now?
Invisalign. Yeah. You know, I did some cases 15 years ago, and it just, you know, didn't. Let's just say it didn't work as good as braces did in my hands.
Well, your training was traditional brackets and wires as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you can't look at it the same.
No.
No. It's different forces on the teeth. So.
So let me ask you this. Why, as a person that's highly trained in brackets and wires as a general dentist, your cost of brackets and wires is probably $50 to $100.
Oh, yeah. Way cheaper. You
know, why would you go to something that has such a high lab bill?
I think it's
the patient's one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be what's asked for. You know, if you can't do it, you're going to lose patience.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's good enough now to where it's just as, I say some cases you're going to do faster in Invisalign than you are traditional ortho. Yeah.
So are you trying to move to an all Invisalign or all clear aligner type of practice?
I don't know if I could ever move to all, but, you know, my father-in-law, so, Chris, he's an orthodontist in San Diego, and, it was probably about 5 years ago he was visiting one time, and he said he's going to pretty much all Invisalign, 90%.
Yeah.
The only ones he doesn't are like the kids, they want braces for the colors.
I want my kids to have braces because I'm sure Aria's not wearing her trays. I'm certain of it.
Yeah, we talked about it already.
Did you ask her?
I already talked to her.
Yeah, he told her how important it was to wear them until her food comes to the table.
That's right. Yeah. 45 minutes out of your mouth, no more than that.
Yeah.
You're regressing after that. So it's important.
I tell them that's why she complains that the trays hurt.
Because yeah.
Not they're working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're overworking.
Yeah. Well, they're not, you're not getting the teeth there.
Yeah.
What's next for you, Jared?
Just increasing my Invisalign practice. So I'm trying some different
what's holding
new
you
marketing.
Back? What's holding you back from doing more Invisalign, more, or, you know, more implants, more all of that? I know the answer. I'm just trying to get it out of you.
What's holding me back? I don't know. But like I said, we're trying to get more patients in that are looking for Invisalign. Mm-hmm. We're already, you know, heavy into the, I would say, internal marketing, you know, with our current patients. I would say most of our Invisalign cases are already patients, you know. Mm-hmm. But so I'm going to try some marketing for some external patients.
Have you done any marketing in 20 years?
I haven't done any.
You just had 18 years, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yesterday was your 18-year practice anniversary. Yeah. So have you done any marketing in 18
Never.
Years? None.
None.
Yellow Pages maybe in the beginning?
No, I think we just put our name in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did send, like, we used to do, like, a little postcard to anybody that bought a house.
Right.
That used to go out.
New neighborhoods.
Yeah, the whole thing. I actually got one myself. It was
we get all their friends do too, but everyone that gets his magazine sends it to me. I'm like, well, that's good. At least we know it's going out. Yeah. You know, like
they're
what
really
which
it.
Part of neighborhood, which neighborhoods are getting it.
So and then I got I sent myself a mailer the other day saying I was overdue for cleaning.
I think those are automatic. Yeah,
I'm overdue for a cleaning. Which
it says
is sad.
We've been trying to reach you multiple times.
Duh. So, all right. That's pretty good. So I think we covered everything.
I mean, Meredith. We touched on everything, yeah.
Yeah. So anything else? Any other fun stories you want to tell us about us? Probably not.
Not that I can remember.
Yeah. No, I
they were too Kevin's busy on the golf course to talk about school.
Yeah, you're my problem. I played golf so much my first 10 years out of dental school afterwards. And then I got my belly got too big and
yeah,
my back
I had too
starts
many
hurting.
Kids.
Well, that's why. Yeah. Where did she show up?
Yeah, hey.
All right, everybody. I want to give thanks to Jared for coming out. We're here, by the way, and we're making a commitment to do an annual father-son
that's right.
Golf trip. Yeah. We're here. And just so
first annual.
My son
till the sons get way too cool to hang out with you guys.
Listen, they'll never get that way. My okay. son is 14. His son is 15. They talk so much smack, and we were up 9 holes after 11 holes today.
Yeah,
the match was over.
We put the beat down on them.
We did.
I think we made them nervous.
And then we're gonna do it again tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll let you guys know the update of the full weekend on the next episode.
Well, if you don't hear anything, it's because I lost. I'm not gonna advertise that for
no
sure.
No update means bad news.
So again, as always, listen. If you could leave us a review, help us expand our social media reach. If you can support our partner, which is 3D Dentists, through some of our training and our programs, we'd love to have you join us in Raleigh and online as well. And we look forward to seeing you each and every week on the T-Bone Speaks podcast. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.